You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's June 11th, 2026, and welcome to episode 186 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you so much for tuning into the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about my top games, my favorite announcements from Summer Game Fest 2026. We've had the PlayStation State of Play, Nintendo Direct, Summer Game Fest, Day of the Devs, Xbox Games Showcase, and lots of other cool events and announcements. I've watched as many of them as I can in 1 week. There are a lot of them, and I've got some favorites to talk about. I always get kind of nostalgic for E3 when June comes around, when it's Summer Game Fest season. I was very lucky to attend twice, and it was like really something. It was unforgettable. I have so many favorite memories from those 2 years that I got to go. There was the time that I was up in the the press section of Nintendo's booth playing some demos, and out of the corner of my eye I caught a glimpse of Miyamoto, and I think I nearly pooed. I got to attend one of the Bethesda showcases, which was like, it's mind-blowing. They literally had an amusement park in a huge lot in downtown L.A., complete with a Ferris wheel, a champagne tower, and the chain smokers DJing the party. It was crazy. And just bumping into folks and getting to talk to people like Shuhei Yoshida, Ted Price, Neil Druckmann, Victor Lucas. I never thought in a million years, growing up a kid and reading about E3 in the pages of Game Informer, Game Fan, you know, that I'd actually get to attend E3 as a member of the media. And when it happened, it really gave me a sense of validation, of feeling like, you know, maybe I was actually, you know, good at this whole podcasting thing, and like maybe it wasn't a huge waste of time or a pipe dream. That's kind of a remnant of the games industry past, though, now. And, you know, I don't think we'll ever quite get back to that same, you know, spectacle, but Summer Games Fest is still very cool, and I'm glad that there's still some kind of big summer event that brings the whole industry together, even if a lot of it's done virtually now. All right, so I think this was actually a really good Summer Games Fest. There were tons of great announcements and reveals and cool-looking video games. It almost kind of felt like the old E3 days, although I still do miss some of the goofiness and oddity of the live stage shows. At least we still have Jeff going up on a stage to make a boob out of himself for every year. So I'm going to run through my favorite moments of last week, not in any particular order, just the things that I found really cool. And just going to start off with Stuntman Hollywood. I really liked the Stuntman games back in the PS2 days. They were kind of more good conceptually than they were, you know, maybe execution at times. But I still thought they were really fun. And now some 20-odd years later, it's back. And in a very appropriate twist, it's bringing a ton of licensed properties with it. The trailer showed off Miami Vice, Knight Rider, Back to the Future, Death Race, and I think a couple of more that I don't quite remember. And later they confirmed that there will be Jurassic Park stages, which is exciting. They couldn't show them off due to some weird licensing hiccup. But either way, I am super jazzed for that one. It is due sometime next year. Next is Gen Atlas, the next game from the legendary creator behind Shadow of the Colossus, Ico, and The Last Guardian. All three of those games are brilliant and three of my favorite games of all time. So I have no doubt that this one will be an absolute gem. It definitely has some of the trademark things, like a desolate world, companionship, gigantic climbable creatures. But this one has more of a science fiction vibe and more combat than is usually seen in his games. Your character wakes up on a seemingly empty planet, but comes across this massive robot who you can... I'm not sure if you're like directly controlling it or just kind of commanding it, but the two of you team up and take on the hostile enemies of this world. Like most of his games, the story's a little bit vague, but the vibes and the scale are great, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Next is the game that opened Summer Games Fest, Resident Evil Veronica, the long-rumored remake of Code Veronica. It's real, and it's coming out early next year. I actually thought this was going to be some DLC for the latest Resident Evil game, but surprise, they've got another remake. The description during the show made it almost seem like a bit more of a reimagining than the other RE remakes, and I'm cool with that. I remember loving this game when I played it on the Dreamcast, but as far as any actual details of what happens in the game, thanks to my half-century-old brain, I don't really remember Jack from the game. So this will be like a brand new game for me. So see, kids, old age has its benefits. Next, I think Gears of War E-Day looks fantastic. It has the familiar pop and drop gameplay that the series is known for, but the footage showed some improved mobility, like different levels of cover and the ability to climb up and hop around a bit more on top of things. Also, it has a seemingly more grounded kind of vibe compared to the, you know, roided out hoorah tone of the original trilogy. Being that this is all about the first conflict, Marcus and Dom are running around in civilian clothes and getting into fights in like a grocery store. It seems like a really good blend of familiar but also new, and it's downright gorgeous to look at. One of the coolest surprises for me was Magician's The Devil's Deal. It's like a first-person immersive sim where you use things like a magic wand and a deck of cards, but with supernatural abilities to battle demons in a Victorian London-like setting. It was giving me kind of Bioshock-type vibes, but the magic powers are really cool-looking and gives everything a unique twist. You can do some really amazing stuff, it looks like, with those powers. That one is coming from Focus Interactive and launches sometime next year. Then we got Final Fantasy VII Revelation, the final part of the remake trilogy, which comes out in the spring. Even though I've got my issues with the first two games, you know, they have felt overstuffed with filler at times and getting a little bit too, you know, anime weird, I guess. I still love that world and those characters, and I'm really excited to see how they wrap things up. It's also super impressive that they actually managed to get all three chapters out in a 7-year time span. If I was a betting man, I would have bet that it would have taken them like over a decade to finish all three games. So kudos to them for cranking those out fairly quick. A couple more games that got my attention were Orbitals, which comes out for the Switch 2 this September. It's a split screen puzzle action game in the same kind of mold as Split Second or It Takes Two, but with a 90s sci-fi anime aesthetic, which looks super rad. It comes from Japanese indie studio Shape Farm, I believe, and I think it was one of the best things shown during the Nintendo Direct. Also, Tenebris Somnia, which is a horror game with an 80s pixel style, very chunky, kind of looks like a mix between, you know, maybe Maniac Mansion and Splatterhouse. But the interesting thing is that it features live-action cutscenes, and they actually look pretty creepy and well done. I don't know much at all about horror movies, but the guy who did the visual effects for When Evil Lurks is involved in the game, if that means something to you. But I think this might be a really fun Halloween game this year. Just kind of big picture looking at each of the showcases as a whole, and, you know, keeping in mind that all of this is subjective and it has more to do with individual tastes than the quality of the show. But I think Nintendo was kind of the most disappointing for me, which is a big surprise. Splatoon Raiders and Switch Sports Resort both look, you know, interesting. And Orbitals looks really good. But other than that, they're wasn't very much at all that got me excited. You know, I can't wait to play Ocarina of Time, but that was, you know, it was a teaser trailer that showed almost nothing for a game that we already knew was coming out this year. So it's hard to get excited for something like that. Sony was also kind of disappointing as a whole. You know, there were definitely some cool games shown, but it was sandwiched in between two big first-party games, Wolverine and God of War, which both were kind of underwhelming. So Xbox fared better. You know, lots of awesome stuff shown. E-Day, Fable, Senua, State of Decay 3, Crazy Taxi, Persona 6, you know. But the show was fairly top-heavy, and by the end of it, it was kind of running on fumes, and honestly, ending with a Call of Duty multiplayer mode was not a great call. And the exclusivity messaging was just more confusing than clarifying. You know, they start the show with Xbox is doing exclusives again, and then almost every single game shown after Gears had a PlayStation 5 logo on it, so it's like, which is it? What are we doing here? I really think Summer Games Fest itself, their main show, was probably the best of the shows. You know, big announcements, exciting reveals, not a ton of filler. And honestly, Jeff was, you know, he wasn't quite as excruciatingly annoying as I normally find him. All around, though, you know, I think it was a really good week of showcases. There were lots of awesome looking games coming this year, and apparently almost all of them in September. Before we go today, I want to do a check-in on our Midlife Pride Quest fundraiser, which is raising money for Outfront Minnesota. In week one, we raised $40, which is 10% of our goal. Decent start. Thank you to everybody who donated and shared. I very much appreciate that. We also gave away a bunch of Steam codes, thanks to our sponsors. And this weekend, there's a really awesome prize up for grabs. If you love RPGs, you know who Obsidian is, Fallout New Vegas, Pillars of Eternity, Knights of the Old Republic 2. And thanks to their generosity, we're giving away a pair of Steam codes for two of their games. If you donate between now and Sunday, you will be entered to win a copy of both Avowed and The Outer Worlds 2. And because the folks at Obsidian are so awesome, I'm not just giving away one pair of these games. I'm not just giving away two pairs of these games. I have five pairs of games to give away to lucky winners. So that is unbelievable. And don't forget, four more donors will also receive subscriptions to Game Informer magazine, thanks to those folks. So big weekend for fundraising. Awesome prizes up for grabs. Go visit GoFundMe and search for Midlife SideQuest and you will find the page. Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and don't forget to save.